Welcome to Slice of Life. Because a bite was not enough, you've listened to Brenda's Bites for years, and now Brenda is expanding her show to include lifestyle happenings from around the region. Now here's your host, Brenda Alacy.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Slice of Life. Thanks so much for joining us this week. We're here every week from 10:30 to 11. All of our archive shows are available at ESPN1520.com on a podcast. So if you want to listen to something fun, there's all sorts of activities going around in Western New York. And we talk to people from all walks of life, whether it's legal, medical, real estate, festivals, events, organizers. This is the place to go. So thank you, as always, for tuning in. It's such a fun part of the week to do this. Hope your Sunday is going well. We've got some information for those of us who are foodies like me. I live to eat, think about food all the time. So believe it or not, Local Restaurant Week is coming up October 16th through the 21st. So right around the corner, time to amp up the time on the treadmill to get ready for Local Restaurant Week. We're going to talk to Krista Hobart, who is the local organizer, and one of the participants, Kim Hamrell, who has a couple of locations where she'll be offering specials this year. And then later in the show, we're going to go to the head of the class with Ginger Jeffrey. Ginger is with Canisius High School, and there's all sorts of great things going on at that Jesuit institution. And we're going to talk to her. Even though my husband is a St. Joe's alum, I'm still going to bring Ginger on the show and talk about their arch rival, Canisius. That'll be in our second segment, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, a good morning and a welcome to Krista Hobart, Local Restaurant Week. How are you, Krista?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing well. Before you know it, Local Restaurant Week will be here.
I know. We say that every time. It's like right around the corner, but it is right around the corner.
Truly
it's about
is.
3 weeks away now. So.
And how nice to have a participant, a veteran participant
for
exactly. Local Grill at the Dome, which is her new restaurant, but the Local Kitchen and Bar at 88 West Chippewa is a place that has had Local Restaurant Week in the past. So I welcome Kim Hamrell to our airwaves. Good morning,
Thank
Kim.
You. Good morning.
Nice to have you here. And Kim, your Local Kitchen and Beer Bar, I guess it's called, right?
Correct.
I love that name. It's at 88 West Chippewa on the Chip Strip. That's kind of more of a party atmosphere, a party neighborhood. But then you also have Local Grill at the Dome. And we're talking about the Golf Dome on Worley inside the Big Bubble. You have a wonderful newer restaurant there. We were there for the opening night, and I've been there a few times since. I like to have a drink or two. It helps me play golf better. I found that to be the case. But tell us a little about Local Grill at the Dome, and I want to ask you about your place on Chippewa, too. But first, this is new, and it's not just for people who golf, right? It's open to everybody.
Correct. We're open 6 days a week. We're open Tuesday through Sunday. We have Sunday brunch. We have Friday fish fries. We're open for lunch and dinner. It's open year-round. We have a beautiful patio out there. Everything is brand new, from the floors to the ceilings, the kitchen. It's really a beautiful place. The facility, we have the golf shop right there as well, and the dome, which you can golf in.
Right. It's one-stop shopping. If you feel like, you know, hitting a bucket of balls before or after you grab a bite to eat at the Local Grill at the Dome, it's the perfect thing to do. Kind of fun to combine everything in one evening. And, you know, you look at the place, Kim, and I've noticed maybe couples at the bar or a bunch of guys out or ladies out for a girls' night out. And then you look at another part of your restaurant and there's family. So it's really appropriate for everybody from toddlers to grandparents.
Absolutely, 100%. We have a menu items to fit everybody.
That's what I like about it, too. And tell us a little about the food. You have quite a variety on your menu.
We do. We like to take... I told my chef from the beginning, I like to take stuff and put a little twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like our beef on wick egg rolls, our chicken malnaise. We have a lot of great dessert, lobster raviolis. We just like to take things and put a little twist on our own twist. So it's not your traditional items that you're getting that you would expect.
Right. And you're on site. I think it's really important to know that the owner is on site. You're there probably more than you want to be, right? It feels like you're always
there.
Yeah. Local Grill at the Dome. So, Kim, what's the reception been like since you opened?
It's been great. Everyone loves the food, the atmosphere, the everything. And we're very happy with the staff, the chef. He's incredible. We're really, really happy. I'm very lucky.
Now that the Sabres preseason has kicked off, we can watch games there. You may need to drink heavily if you're watching the Bills this year. So that's something to consider because you have TVs at the bar.
We have TVs in the bar. We have TVs in the dining room. We
right.
have a TV out on the patio.
Yeah, it's really convenient. It's my kind of place. You kick back, you enjoy yourself. The food is excellent, though, and it's a nice, varied menu and includes Sunday brunch, as you mentioned. Let's talk a little about Local Kitchen and Beer Bar on West Chippewa. How does that differ from your new spot?
That's a little bit more laid back, a little bit more rustic. We have a lot of, it's right by the hotels downtown. It's really, it's more of a comfort food menu.
Mm-hmm. And do you get a younger crowd just by virtue of the fact
No, actually we don't. We have it's families. We
really?
Have an older clientele. We really don't get the young kids in there.
Oh, that's
Chippewa has really changed.
It has. You know, I guess you can't assume it's that stereotypical view of the chip strip with party goers at 3 a.m. You know, there are families. And do you think a lot of it has to do with so many people moving downtown now?
I think so. And you have a lot of the young professionals that are there. And no one wants to be in that party atmosphere when you're 30 years old.
Right, right. And plus, you don't want to have to worry about driving if you want to have a drink or two.
Right.
It's great to be able to walk somewhere. Or call Uber or Lyft. Finally, it's arrived. And Kim, I mean, I don't know how you look so sane and put together because you have another business on top of the two local grill and kitchen businesses that are under your purview. You also have Buffalo's Best Catering by Kim. And that's drop-off and
We do full service.
All service.
Correct. We do full service. We have a small banquet facility which holds 90 people, and we do drop-off catering every day. And then we do full service, like I said, weddings and baby showers. We have staff on site, high-end hors d'oeuvre parties.
Hard to believe that we're approaching the holiday season before you know it. You do that as well, many parties for the holidays?
Absolutely. People are already booking because we book up fast. In December, we're turning down orders. We can't take them all.
That's a good dilemma to have. And Krista, when you talk to a person like Kim, she's got these restaurants, one in the suburbs, one in the city. She's got a catering company. It must make you feel so happy to kind of help spread the word about these small business owners who work so hard day in and day out.
It's true. That's the best part of the job is I get to meet all these different people. And we really do showcase only locally owned and operated restaurants here in Western New York. So it's pretty cool. We only get the mom and pop people, we like to call them. And they're so interesting and fun.
I love it. Last week when we talked about Local Restaurant Week coming back, again, it's the week of October 16th through the 21st, the fall edition. You had said that the Buffalo edition is one of the top in the country.
It is.
And it's pretty pretty rarefied air because a lot of the other cities that do so well in the restaurant weeks are large cities, top 10 markets, but they also include chains. But
right.
You've made it a point over the years as one of the key organizers to really focus on locally owned and independent eateries like Kim's Places.
Exactly. You said it. You said everything right there. We are the one in the top five in the country. The only ones that are bigger than our Restaurant Week concept are the ones you'd think. New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, and the D.C. area, and then us. So that's pretty amazing. Those cities are a lot bigger than ours. And we're the only one that only features, you know, we only let in locally owned and operated restaurants. The other ones have some national chains in there. So to be in the top five says a lot about the community that we live in and that we like to eat. And then we also have amazing restaurants because we're in the top five. We have 200 and some restaurants that participate, and we're just a small little city. So to have that many independent restaurants is pretty amazing.
A tip of the chef's hat for sure to everybody who loves to eat in this area.
Right.
This is a big celebration year for Local Restaurant Week as well.
It is. This is our 10th anniversary. So this is our 20th Local Restaurant Week event, which seems it's unbelievable, actually.
Gone we started, by in a blink.
Yeah, and we started it out kind of on a whim. We had no idea what we were kind of getting into, and I don't think we really had any expectations as to how long it would last. And so for 10 years, it's pretty great, and I'm sure we never thought about how big it would grow.
Right.
So we're glad to be part of the fabric of the Western New York, that's for sure.
Now, Kim, you're a restaurant owner. You have two places. Why did you decide to participate in Local Restaurant Week?
I think it's a great way. We do it because we put items on there and we see how they go, and we're testing out for our new menu. So we're coming out with a new menu in October. Any of the stuff that goes really well, we get great feedback on. They're going to go on our next menu. So it's great for us to test new menu items out and get, you know, feedback from our guests.
Right, right. That's a great point, Krista. Nobody, right. I don't think, has ever brought that up, that Local Restaurant Week is a perfect opportunity to experiment a little bit.
And there's several restaurants that do that, that have a special menu that's only good during Local Restaurant Week, or like Kim said, they just feature some and they find out, all right, this works really well and this one maybe not, and they do a lot of testing. It's kind of nice, yeah.
So, Kim, what are you featuring this year?
We have a roasted red pepper bisque soup with a goat cheese fritter. That's one of our starters. One of our entrees is we have baby back ribs and a mushroom risotto. We have a Mediterranean chicken, a pasta James, and a poblano pepper.
Do you deliver?
Yes, we do.
Can you come by in about 20 minutes?
Yes.
I'm thinking that poblano pepper sounds really good.
Doesn't that sound good? That's what and the fritter, I think, sounds really great.
And the dessert is going to be the top.
All right, what is it?
Okay,
our triple chocolate brownie with vanilla cream toasted marshmallow, and it's on a chocolate ganache and a graham cracker.
Well, there you go.
Well, I think I could probably bike up there. I live in Williamsville, so it's not that bad. Yeah, I could probably do
that. And then we'll just play some golf afterwards.
It's, yeah, yeah, so I can justify that. Now put on my stretch pants. We've got it made. That's great. And Kim, are there certain dishes that you try to feature more than others? In other words, you know how a lot of places have signature dishes? Mm-hmm. When you name a restaurant, oh, yes, I go there for XYZ. Have you established that with your local places, the local grill at the Dome and the local kitchen and beer bar?
You know, we have, for the local kitchen and beer bar, we have some items that we've actually have on our menu at the local grill. Our beef on wick egg rolls,
yes,
our ultimate chicken sandwich, our candy turkey bacon. Those are things that were really big sellers for us, and we featured them on our menu at the grill as well. Other than that, we're so new. We've only been open since May, so we're still trying to find that featured item that is going to be, you know, but everyone loves the beef on wick egg rolls. Those are big sellers at both locations.
Juju.
We run out of them.
Juju.
Yeah, what's in it?
Yeah, really. Is it beef with like Kimmelwick wrapped up in an egg roll,
yeah,
type
so
of concept?
Yeah, so it's shaved beef, and uh-huh. I can't tell you what put inside because it's a secret.
Uh-oh.
And then it has the, it's a wonton eggshell.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually put the Kimmelwick on it, and then it's served with the horsey sauce.
Oh,
it's phenomenal.
Perfect.
I don't eat beef, and I really love it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've really gotten away from red meat in general, but I think I would probably try
that.
Because the Kimmelwick salt, I think, is what puts it over the top. It sounds so good. And I love the sauces, too. Krista, for folks who may not be familiar with the concept, this is obviously 2018, and that coincides with one level of dining entrees or courses that one might expect to see at a restaurant that's participating.
Exactly. Each restaurant needs to offer at least one dining feature. Many offer several for mm-hmm. one priced at 2018, 3018, or 4018. Can be for breakfast, lunch, dinner, two for one. Some can include wine. Some can include dessert. It really, we leave it up to the restaurant owner to decide what works for them, works for us. And all the menus that you, for all the restaurants, are found at localrestaurantweek.com. So all the information you need there about the restaurants, where they're located, what their menu is, how to make a reservation, which is also very important, is all on the website.
Do you take reservations, Kim?
Absolutely.
So you encourage them.
We encourage them, yeah.
That's good to know. I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes you do things on a whim and you think, well, I'm always scanning through the local restaurant week participants mm-hmm. and, okay, what am I in the mood for? Let me see what area I want to drive to. So you can't stress that enough because you want to be able to accommodate everybody.
Absolutely. We never want to turn anyone down.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. And, Krista, last we talked, you had about 60 restaurants registered. Here we are a week later. I bet you've got a few more already in the can.
Yes, over 80.
Whoa.
And I forget how many new ones. There's at least 10 or 12 new ones
really?
Already. Yeah, and we get restaurants sign up every day. So I think I had 5 or 6 sign up today. So we always tell people to check the website because restaurants sign up right until the very day that we start, even though we get annoyed when they do that. We'd prefer that they sign up well in advance so we can advertise for them. But yes, just check the website all the time and find out the latest restaurants that are participating and what they're offering.
And if a restaurant owner or a worker hears this and wants to register, they just go right to the website?
Yep, it's really easy. Just when you go to localrestaurantweek.com, there's a tab that says registration and you can register your restaurant right there.
And Kim, that was probably an easy process. You know how to do that too, right? You got in and early.
The first day I got the email, I sent it. I was on the phone with her right away because I had some issues with mine just being a new restaurant because I'd already had an account. So was great. She was amazing. She fixed it all right away.
That's great to hear. So local kitchen and beer bar, 88 West Chippewa. And the local grill at the Dome, I can't recommend that highly enough. I got to check out your other place, too. And what's the actual street address, Kim, for people who might be punching it into their GPS?
Yeah, it's 8230 Worley Drive in Williamsville, 14221.
It's funny because I think of that as Clarence, but it's actually a Williamsville
address,
right? All you have to do is look for the big bubble.
Correct. Yep.
And you'll find Kim and her very competent staff and some terrific food and terrific prices. I look forward to seeing you during Local Restaurant Week, Kim, if not before. Krista, as always, thank you for coming in and appreciate all your hard work over the years.
Absolutely. We encourage everyone to go out to eat during Local Restaurant Week and support the local restaurant industry here.
Thank you very much, ladies. And next up, we're going to talk to Ginger Jeffrey from Canisius High School, back right after this.
When you think about technology, vacuums are probably the furthest thing from your mind. That's because you haven't tried a SIBO yet. Bowerly, there are all kinds of fancy carpets coming out all the time, and if you want to get them clean, you're going to need a vacuum built for the job. Rosex carries a wide range of vacuums that feature great new technology, better filtration, easier to use, less maintenance, and easy to replace filters and brushes. And they know at Rosex which vacuums will work on your new carpets. and which ones only claim to work. But the best part, Rosex does it the old-fashioned way with machines that are built to last, like my SIBO. And even if you bought some junky off-the-shelf vacuum that's not working, Rosex service department can help. They're even 3D printing some discontinued parts to better serve customers with older vacuums. You want to talk about embracing new technology? That's Rosex. Plus the personal service. Rosex, Sheridan, and Sweet Home Plaza, Amherst, or McKinley, across from Monroe Muffler in Hamburg.
Are you struggling with back or neck pain, sciatica, numbness in your hands or feet? Call Dr. Reeb. He has helped patients relieve their pain for over 10 years with his spinal decompression. Make no mistake, Dr. Reeb is the go-to expert on spinal decompression and has helped many patients in the Western New York area, including me.
We specialize in the treatment of bulging, herniated, or degenerative discs, or pinched nerves. Left untreated, your pain will get worse, making your life miserable.
Take care of your back or neck problem right away and make your health a top priority. In one consultation, Dr. Reeb can tell you exactly what's wrong and offer a solution.
My spinal decompression is safe, painless, and can eliminate your back or neck issues for good. Pills, shots, physical therapy, and other treatments are just a band-aid.
Dr. Reeb has the experience and results you're looking for.
You only have one back. Let's get you healthy and pain-free.
Call Dr. Reeb today, 1-888-59-SPINE.
Call Dr. Reeb. He's got your back.
Honda-certified pre-owned vehicles go through a 182-point inspection, but it used to be more, like .210, the dog hair interrogation.
Nice Accord, Mark. Bet you thought you could fool us, huh? What's this labradoodle hair doing in the back seat?
Probably from my friend's dog.
Sure it's not your dog's hair?
I don't have a dog.
Oh. Then you passed.
You can see why we cut it down. Visit HondaCertified.com to check out our latest certified pre-owned inventory from KBB.com's 2018 Best Value brand.
Based on 2018 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for information.
Hey, Buffalo, I'm gonna get my perks.
My perks!
At MyBuffaloPerks.com.
Love authentic Hickory barbecue? How about pulled pork, seafood, sandwiches, and Alfredo fries? Ellie Oop's restaurant in Lancaster is today's deal of the day. Get a $24 gift certificate for just $12. Go to MyBuffaloPerks.com.
I'm gonna get my perks.
My perks!
At MyBuffaloPerks.com.
If you have news about the latest happenings around the Buffalo Niagara region, contact Brenda during the week at 843-0651. That's 843-0651.
And welcome back to this Sunday Fun Day. Hope your weekend is going well. And as always, our thanks to Kevin Carr, the K-Carr in Master Control, pushing on the buttons for us, keeping us on the right road, slice of life here every week, and we couldn't do it without him. Well, what a pleasure to welcome back an old friend. Ginger Jeffrey is here. She is the Director of Communications for Canisius High School. And Ginger has worked in the local media over the years and is now behind the scenes at one of the most prestigious and well-regarded high schools in the area. Ginger, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good to see you, Brenda.
My pleasure. It's so nice to see you again. And I was happy to hear that you were at Canisius because it must offer you an opportunity to work in a place that is so well-regarded. And it really is, to me, when I look at this, a school that has the right philosophy with the young men who go there. They try to impart the right philosophy. It's known as a Jesuit high school. What does that mean exactly, Ginger?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, some people are very familiar with the Jesuit brand, if you will, but other people do ask me, it's like, well, what does that mean, a Jesuit high school? Well, the Jesuit is actually a nickname for the Society of Jesus, which is a religious order which runs the school, and the Society of Jesus dates back to 1540, so it's been around for centuries. And even from the earliest days, they were very known for establishing schools, so it has a great tradition in education. And today, there are 28 Jesuit colleges here in the U.S., as well as 62 Jesuit high schools and hundreds of Jesuit schools throughout the world. So being a Jesuit school, you're part of this great network that spans the whole globe, really. And one of the Jesuit education philosophies is caring for the whole person. So you're not just a number in the school. You're not just trying to get grades. They care about you mind, body, spirit, soul, the whole person. So they care about what's going on in your life at home, as well as how you're doing with your schoolwork. So it's kind of the whole package there.
Yeah, you know, when you go to the school, you can feel that. I've been there a few times talking to some of your colleagues who've run some commercials on our sister station, primarily Star and WBEN and WGR. And there's kind of a feeling when you walk into the school, it feels like a comfortable place. The young men that you bump into are very polite. Do they still require the students to wear a tie every day?
That's true. That is the dress code, shirt and tie. Although during the warmer months, right now they're allowed to wear their Canisius polo shirts.
Oh, nice,
so
nice.
When it's hot out, but as soon as the weather changes, they'll be back to ties.
Right, I like that. I think that sets a standard too, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they look very sharp, and yeah, they are taught to say hello to people in the hallway.
Yes.
This is how we greet each other. We're part of the Canisius community, and yeah, you care about each other.
Right, definitely. Since Canisius is a Catholic school, Ginger, do students have to be Catholic to attend?
No, they do not. So we have students that are not even Christian. We have Muslim students, we have Jewish students, Sikh, lots of different religions. So we're very welcoming to anybody who wants to come to our school, no matter what your faith is, that we're welcoming. They do take religion classes at our school, but it's not teaching you what to believe. It's more teaching you about religion. So it's comprehensive that way. But yes, I've talked. It's interesting to talk to some of the students who are of different faiths.
I bet.
There was a Jewish student who graduated last year who did the retreat programs and talked about how much he gained regarding his own faith by going through the retreat programs, because it's really a way to examine, you know, what you believe and who you are. So it applies to you no matter who you are or what your faith is.
Yeah, and the other thing too, I think there's a misconception that you have to be really affluent to attend there. You do have financial aid programs, right? And people come in, young men, students come in from all corners of the area.
Absolutely, yes. We draw from all parts of Western New York. I mean, we're situated just north of downtown near the Elmwood Village, but
sure.
Yeah, we have students that come from Orchard Park. We have students from Lewiston, Lockport, Lancaster. So they come from all over. And there is, like you say, financial aid available. We have both merit-based scholarships. So if you've just demonstrated that you've done well academically, then you might be eligible for a merit-based scholarship. We also have need-based financial aid. So if your family can apply for that, and if you qualify, you might be able to get need-based financial aid. So there are possibilities. We want to work with young men who want to attend our school and see if we can make it possible.
Yeah, and people come from all over. I think it's so great to reinforce that idea that it isn't just folks who perhaps have an affluent family member that gets them in or who live a privileged life. It's open to everybody. And, you know, to that end, the school has really expanded. There's so many opportunities for these young men. And Delaware Avenue is your main building, of course, mm-hmm. but you've expanded the campus over the last year, right?
Yeah, in 2017, we purchased what was Gilda's Club, which is right across.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's also on Delaware Avenue, but it's just across West Ferry. So that sat empty for a while, and there was an opportunity for us to purchase it, and so we did, and it went through several months of renovations, and now it's our Center for the Arts. So it's got three levels of arts rooms. The basement floor is got chorus, it's got a classroom and offices. The second floor has arts. There's ceramics, there's a kiln, there's a printing press, there's art galleries. And the third floor is for instrumental music. We have our practice room for the string orchestra as well as the band, and there's individual practice rooms too. So it's this great new space that's the kids are really enjoying going across the street to use the Center for the Arts.
I bet they enjoy just a different atmosphere and something that's so specific to what they want to learn.
Yeah, and we wondered about how that would work, about them crossing the street to go to this other building.
Right.
But the students say they actually like it, because it kind of, they get to get outdoors and breathe the fresh air, and
yes.
It puts them in that fresh creative state of mind that they need to go in and do art or music or whatever.
Right.
Creative application they're doing.
Perfect kind of nurturing setting for that. You know, Ginger, we hear a lot these days about STEM programs. It's an acronym that stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. These fields get a lot of attention these days. Does Canisius have a program that focuses on STEM areas?
Absolutely, yes. Just new this year, we've made computer science its own department. You know, before it was part of our science department, but now it's its own department. And we also opened up what's called a makerspace. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but it's a big room that has stations for working on different projects. It's used as a classroom for part of the day, but it's also open for students anytime they want to come in and tinker around and work on robotics. Or we also have 3D printers. There's drones that they learn how to program. It's really cool to walk in there when they're flying the drones around. You have to watch your head.
Get a quick haircut that you didn't expect. Huh?
Yeah, but those are important things. You know, those
sure.
That's a big career field now in those STEM areas. So
it's great to learn those things.
That's
great to hear, because people might not assume that that's available at a Jesuit school like Canisius. We're talking with Ginger Jeffrey, who is the director of communications at Canisius High School, And Ginger has a wealth of information here. There's so much going on at this school. It's a college preparatory school, of course. What are some of the colleges where your recent graduates have been accepted?
We just had one from last year that went to Stanford, as well as Harvard, Cornell, Georgetown, West Point. So there's some great schools that, wow, that our students get into. And that's another thing about Canisius, that we have a guidance program where they really work with the students on the college application process to really help them target what school that they might want to go to and figure out what's the best way to apply and get into that school.
So it's terrific. That's a pretty prestigious list right there.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with those schools.
No doubt, especially, many of them are Ivy League and such well-regarded schools in addition to the Ivy Leaguers. You also have a lot of famous Canisius alums, right? Who are some of your more famous alumni members?
One that probably most people know is the late Tim Russert, the political commentator.
Yes.
We still all miss Tim Russert, but yeah, he was class of 1968 there at Canisius, so
Wow. Definitely
one of the more famous ones. Also, former Congressman John LaFalce, he was class of 1957. We had an Olympic medalist, Steve Coppola. He was an Olympic medalist in rowing. He's a class of 2002. And John Urschel, the football player, he was just in town yesterday. He was here for one of our luncheons. But yeah, he's a class of 2009. He played for the Baltimore Ravens and retired. And now he's earning his PhD in mathematics at MIT. He's an amazing young man.
What an amazing life story he has, just being a math whiz, playing in the NFL. He's a pretty big guy. You can't miss him. Just had an amazing impact, I think, on his field. Do you think he'll teach eventually?
I don't know. I'm not sure what he wants to do. He's really amazing to talk to.
And
he's got a great math mind. And personally, I'm glad he's not playing football anymore because you don't want him to injure that great mind.
I know. That's for sure. That's a great point. Ginger, we should talk about, too, if families are interested in Canisius, what's the best way to learn about the school? You have some open houses coming up, right?
Yes, we do have our big open house. It's 2 days. It's Sunday, September 30th from 9:30 in the morning till 12:30 in the afternoon. And I will give you a tip for coming Sunday. Probably want to come 10:30 or later because that first hour, that's usually the busiest. So
if
you want to avoid the crowd, come 10:30 to 12:30. If you want to come Monday, October 1st, we're also having the open house from 5:30 in the evening till 7:30 in the evening. So you're welcome to come by and check it out. We'll give you the tour and you'll get to meet our students, our teachers, and ask whatever questions you want and see the campus.
And just walk through there. You know, what a great, great way to get a feel for what the school is like, simply seeing all the different facilities and buildings that you have and talking to students too. Ginger Jeffrey, who is the Director of Communications. So kind of you to come in this morning. Ginger, thanks so much. Best of luck to all the young men over at Canisius.
Thank you very much.
That'll put a wrap on this edition of Slice of Life. As always, appreciate you tuning in and carving out some time for us. See you next week. Go Bills.
Thanks for listening. Brenda will be back next Slice of Life Sunday at 10:30 on ESPN 1520.